Good morning. I call to order the hearing in docket number 2836. It is approximately 10 o'clock on Friday, February the 10th, 2023. I'm Cassie Brown, Commissioner of Insurance. This hearing concerns proposed rules addressing employer-related health benefit plan regulations. Notice of today's hearing is published in TDI's website on January the 20th and in the Texas Register on January 27th. Any member of the public wishing to offer spoken comments should fill out a witness card and submit it to the Deputy Chief Clerk, and I'll call on you and then ask you to identify yourself for the record. I'll begin by calling on Cindy Wright, Director of Consumer Protection, Customer Operations, to explain the proposal.
Good morning, Commissioner Brown. My name is Cindy Wright. I'm Consumer Protection Director of the Customer Operations Division of the Texas Department of Insurance. I'm here today to summarize TDI's proposed amendments of current sections 26.5 and 26.301, entitled 28, Chapter 26 of the Texas Administrative Code, to clarify that the requirements and mandates of Senate Bill 1264, 86 Legislature 2019, including Insurance Code Chapter 1467, apply to Certificates of Insurance, or COIs, issued to certain Texas residents. The proposed amendments to Sections 26.5G and 26.301J clarify that carriers that are not that are licensed and doing business in Texas and that issue group accident or health plans to an out-of-state employer and deliver COIs to Texas resident employees are subject to Senate Bill 1264, including Insurance Code Chapter 1467. TDI has historically applied Texas insurance laws and mandates to COIs issued to Texas resident employees under a group accident or health plan that is issued to the employee's out-of-state employer by an issuer that is licensed and doing business in Texas. These amendments are not a change. They reflect how TDI has consistently applied the statutory and regulatory requirements. This proposal was published in the Texas Register on December 23, 2022, and the notice of hearing was published in the January 27, 2023 edition. This concludes my presentation. Thank you for your consideration of this proposal, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Wright. Now, I will call for public comments. Currently, I have one card from Kevin Stewart. Would you like to come up?
Yes, I'm Kevin Stewart. I'm here representing the Texas Association of Health Plans. I'm glad I'm the only person testifying. Thank you for everybody who came to hear me speak today. we want to run through a few things, just the way we're interpreting the law, you know, sort of, and let me know if I'm not projecting enough. You know, the important thing here for us is that the consumer is going to be protected either way. This is not about, you know, a consumer falling out of SB 1264 and just falling into the ether. They're going to be protected by the MSA. So the way we read it, you know, the preamble relies a lot on Article 2142. Chapter 1467 actually has its own applicability section. We don't know why that section wasn't referenced in the preamble, but basically that section says this chapter applies to an HMO operating under Chapter 843, a PPO offered by an insurer under Chapter 1301, and 1551, 1575, and 1579. Our thoughts are that an issuer is not operating under or offering under those chapters when they're issuing out-of-state plans. Those chapters clearly only apply to plans issued in the state. So, for example, in 1301, in 843, annual reports are required. You know, these out-of-state plans, issuer of out-of-state plans, are not tracking their members to see, well, someone just moved to Texas, so suddenly we're going to have to file annual reports. So, you know, we don't think 1301, we don't think 843 apply to issuers when they issue out-of-state plans, even if they're otherwise licensed to practice under those, or licensed to issue plans under those chapters. And so therefore, they're not, those plans are not being offered by an insurer under Chapter 1301 or 843. So just general principles of statutory interpretation, the Code Construction Act 311026. Code Construction Act, for those who don't know, is just a law to apply that applies to all of our laws and instructs agencies and courts on how to interpret our laws. Basically just says use the specific law over the general law. Again, we don't know why the preamble jumped to Article 2142. That's a 50-year-old law that applies to all lines of insurance. Chapter 1467 has its own applicability chapter. That would be the specific law in this circumstance, and 2142 would be the general law. So we think 1467 controls over Article 2142. Again, it's not clear why that section wasn't referenced. The preamble also talks a lot about historical practice and how this has always been the interpretation of the agency. So just kind of running through the history of this statute, 1467 was established by HB 2256 in 2009. It created an enrollee mediation process for out-of-network bills and in-network facilities, and it applied to PPOs and ERS. Then we have 1428, that was passed in 2017. It added that those chapters 1575 and 1579 to the applicability section. And then in 1264, in Senate Bill 1264 from 2019, we kind of have the current law, and it also added HMOs and EPOs to the applicability section. So, you know, despite the claims in the preamble, since 2009, all claims for mediation for plans issued out of the state were rejected on the basis that the claims were ineligible. Someone tracked this down, so we brought receipts. This was from a PowerPoint done by the agency. I guess y'all created a new portal after SB 1264 was adopted. Y'all hosted a webinar on how to use the portal. And so you had a mark ineligible box, and it had a series of check boxes. The second checkbox on there said, the health plan isn't a major medical plan that's, one, fully insured and issued in Texas, two, Health Selective Texas, or three, TRS Active Care. And then y'all actually said at that checkbox, Texas Insurance Code 1467 doesn't apply to that plan. So all that to say, you know, this hasn't been the historical practice of the agency, even post-1264. The agency did not apply 1467 to plans issued outside of the state. Sometime in July of 2020, the box was removed without any notice and any request for input from the public. Obviously, that's a pretty big change to state policy. We think it probably required it well then, but either you're doing it now, so I guess that covers it. The other thing we think y'all kind of skipped over here is what are called choice of law provisions. And those are in contracts. I'm sure you've all seen boilerplate contracts that just says, you know, the state of Texas, the laws of the state of Texas shall apply if there are any claims under this contract. The preamble sort of just jumps to Article 2142 and cites some cases. The Texas courts... So Texas courts actually look to the contract provisions first, the choice of law provisions. So the Fifth Circuit has said in Texas, contractual choice of law provisions are ordinarily enforced if the chosen form has a substantial relationship to the parties and the transaction, which we believe a plan issued out of state, that out of state would have a substantial relationship. The Texas courts kind of historically rely on the restatement, the second restatement of conflict of laws, and specifically section 187, which again just says an appropriate choice of law provision in an insurance contract is controlling. And only when there is no such provision will the court look to statute. And actually most recently in a case, Ready Ice Court v. Travelers Lloyds in 2004, the court said, in Texas, when a contract does not contain an express choice of law provision, a court must determine whether a relevant statute directs the court to apply the laws of a particular state. So, and Ready Ice actually analyzed Article 2142, They went through the whole analysis that was kind of in the preamble. But again, we kind of jumped over that step of, is there a choice of law provision in the contract? We talked to our members, and it sounds like nearly all contracts, again, it's a boilerplate provision, nearly all contracts with employers contain provisions expressly stating which state laws apply. So just to kind of recap where we are before we jump into some practical issues, this proposal sort of circumvents the applicability of Section 1467, which is the more specific law, and also was actually in SB 1264. It was amended in 1264, so it was in the bill. It deviates from a decade-old interpretation from the agency, again, from 2009, and so after, you know, July 2020, the agency expressly said that 1467 did not apply to these plans. And then it also, you know, disregards the agreement and expectations of the parties who entered the contract. So now you have two contracting parties who agree that certain laws apply, and now we're just sort of disregarding. So practical issues. I think this raises a lot of practical issues. I'm just going to name a few. Essentially, what you're doing here is forcing an insurer to decide which set of laws it violates, right? So let's say we have a plan issued to issued out of state. The employee moves to Texas. If the other state has, you know, the state specified plan, and they regulate plans that are issued for delivery in their state, when there's a Texas resident, that resident is now going to be subject to two different sets of notice requirements, two different resolution processes, two different appeals procedures, two different ways to, you know, figure out the QPA, all that stuff. So the insurer is sort of put in a position where it's going to have to violate one of the laws, and it's not going to know which one to violate. Also, just even more practical than that, I mean, we use the TDI, DOI notation on our cards. I mean, our insurer is expected to, again, track when an out-of-state enrollee moves to Texas and issues them a new card so that the provider and enrollee knows when SB 1264 applies. There are more examples, and we'll put more examples in our comments, but I think this just sort of raises a lot of issues. Last but not least, you know, we also disagree with the interpretation of Article 2142 in the precedent. In the preamble. I'm going to leave that to the comments because it's pretty deep in the weeds legal stuff, so I'll spare y'all. But we also kind of disagree with that interpretation. All right, last thing, and then I'll sit down. Recommendations. So first, obviously withdraw the rule on its face. The proposal violates the instructions of the legislature in SB 1264 in the 1460. Chapter 1467 applicability section. I think the rule, or the proposal rather, has to be withdrawn. Second, fix the portal. Again, we don't know why a massive change in state policy was made in July of 2020 without any notice, without any rulemaking. You know, that probably violates the Administrative Procedures Act. But that should really be. And then actually, you know, last but not least, and I know this might be a Hail Mary, but I think this proposal has created a lot of confusion. You know, it's the way y'all worded the preamble, and you were saying that you always interpreted it this way. And so I think even withdrawing the proposal, it's not going to be clear what the agency's position on this is. So if y'all could just provide some guidance on how you interpret the applicability section of Chapter 1467, I think it would be helpful to consumers, to providers, and to the plans themselves. That's all I have.
Thank you for your comments. Would anybody else like to comment? All right, let the record reflect that all those desiring to comment have now done so. TDI will accept all written comments received before Wednesday, February the 15th at 5 p.m. Central Time. TDI will consider all validly submitted written comments and the testimony given here today before preparing an adoption order for this rulemaking. Thank you for participating in this hearing. The hearing for Docket 2836 is now adjourned. Have a great day.